find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
I'd like to apologize for interrupting Buckley's sports snort.
I will not apologize for the first text of the day being Buckley McCord being back today as an upset. Taking heat. Buckley takes shots.
Ow.
You know, he catches strays.
It's fine. I got thick skin.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you're a Clydesdale.
Got to.
You're right over there.
He's looking for a drop.
I am.
You just had like this weird open mouth, slack jawed kind of.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find something over here. Too late now. I'll just fire the Nimic music rotator again.
The time is gone.
There you go.
It's all about timing.
That's Nimic's little preview of tonight.
Yeah, a preview for tonight when he'll talk about,
sports.
Kids. Something.
Yeah. All right.
Hot kid talk.
Buck is back. His kid had a couple of little ear infections in his little kid ears.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, breathing weird and
he's
all that.
Fine.
Yeah, he's all wheezy and needed an inhaler, but slept well last night, which means he gets to go back to daycare today.
More importantly, we have the first Clydesdale training update that has...
Sprint Tri Clyde.
Sprint Tri Clyde.
That's right.
Buckley, look at you. You're an animal out there. 3 miles today?
New PR.
Were you wearing little running shorts?
No, not little running shorts. I was wearing... above the knee running shorts. I mean, I'm not out there in board shorts or something.
I need you out there in some 5-inchers.
No,
you got to get some high. You got to get some briefs. If you're gonna be a true triathlete, Buckley.
No,
you got to cut that thing high and tight, baby.
No.
Just get you a little running briefs with that inner panty. Just get out there and trot around.
3.3 miles, I see here, 34 minutes, 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Look at you.
That's pretty tight.
That's
well,
right.
I think if you go back, I before you were back, Suk, I sent Isaac my trail run, and that one, I think I shaved 20 or 30 seconds off my mile time between this one and the last. So
yeah, so you're pacing at 10 minutes, 28 seconds per mile.
Started at 11:04, I think, something like that.
Whether you like it or not, people, look at that. That right there, that's peak athletic male.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's right. Dad bod summer coming in hot.
Let me go back and see what you sent me last time. Scrolling.
When is your...
There might be a lot of derby texts in between.
There were a lot of texts in between, but 10:57. So you almost 30 seconds.
Almost 30 seconds better today.
Better.
My gal, the BTJ, she ran a half marathon last weekend down in LA somewhere.
Okay.
Did not train for it at all.
Just rolled out of bed and did it?
Rolled out of bed and did it. And her friends were all pissed because...
And she crushed it?
Well, she got like, it was like 10:02 miles. So she averaged 10-minute miles on the nose. And that was the best of all her friends that had been training for it. And they were quite upset.
They wanted to win?
Well, I think it bothered them that she was not... taking it seriously. And I think everyone was like, you're going to die. And like, you can't.
You're going to die.
Well, just that you can't.
Like you're not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. And it's, you know, you have to try for that. And she was like, I think she ran two or three times. She got up to like 5 miles, was like, I got this.
What race? What kind of, would you say?
It was a half marathon. So 13, what is it?
Yeah.
So a marathon's what, 26.2?
Correct. So 13.1.
13.1. So yeah, the BTJ rolled down there and she was a little nervous. Now she did say she was hurting a little bit afterwards, but yeah, she went down there and did it with zero training.
Well, why would you take it serious? Like, I don't know, I guess.
I think you don't want to embarrass yourself or cramp or blow out a hamstring. Like the Sprint Tri Clyde over here, he's clear. Like he's not just going to roll. When's your big race?
June 14th.
Yeah, you're not just going to roll in there on June 14th and have done one training day and be like,
No.
You got to take it seriously. Apparently you don't.
Well, I guess taking it seriously, I think of...
No, they don't.
I'm thinking two different things. I'm thinking like they're like really into it and like, hey, we got to do our best versus... Okay, maybe training leading up to it.
I think that was...
Just be physically ready to do it. Yeah, okay.
I think the point is they were all pulling a Buckley and training. And I was interested to see what was going to happen. And she was just like...
Did she beat some of them?
Yeah, she beat them all.
Okay. And I think that's got to tick them
off. I think that in lies the rub. is that when you have a group of friends and you all go down there and every one of them has been trained and then the one of you that hasn't, I think that you know.
Yeah, why else would they be mad about? That makes no sense. Yeah. Hey, we're taking this seriously. The person who won the thing of all of you, it doesn't matter how seriously she took it. She beat you all. So isn't she taking it seriously by default?
No. In fact, she took it.
She beat them, though.
Yeah, but she in no way took it seriously. Like, no
way. But see, I think what this points directly to, and it's the only thing in play here, is that they're simply pissed that she beat them without training.
Yes.
That's that it's
the
that easy.
Only thing. Yes.
Otherwise, it's the athlete that never practices and shows up to the game and just balls out.
If you really cared about your score, your, I don't know, your time, whatever, you'd be like, oh, thank you really much. Thank you very much for helping us out.
Thank you really much.
Thank you really much. You helped us a lot with your great time. We don't even care that you didn't train because you did a better time than all of us.
That's usually not the case. I have a friend of mine who's a really good golfer and never plays, and it pisses people off. Because he'll show up not having played in like 4 months, and then he'll play with other people that play every day, and then he goes out and shoots like a 74. And then people do get mad. People don't like people that just can go out and do it without
that are naturally great.
Yes, that rubs people the wrong way.
I think this opens a conversation for how to compartmentalize our competitive nature.
Yeah.
I think people need to be better about this.
Yeah.
Like,
well, life isn't fair and people want fairness, but the truth of the matter is When you're a little baby, whatever you believe in, Leo or Tom Cruise or the Lord or Buddha, whoever.
Babies believe in Leo?
Yeah, I would think so, right? Leo's in charge now, the way.
Pope
USA!
Oh,
USA.
That Leo. Okay.
Take that.
I thought you meant DiCaprio, because then you said Tom Cruise.
Why is he Leo? His name's Bob.
No, he changed. When you're the Pope, you have to get a new name.
I know. I was hoping that some Catholics on the text line could help us today, because why not just be Pope Bobby the First?
No, you have to take a new name.
Why?
It's all in the rules.
Well, it's because the original...
Do you have a list to choose from? Does it get assigned to you, like a call sign in like Top Gun, or how does that work?
No, you get to pick it.
You pick it. Okay.
One of the first prophets in the... I'm trying to remember who it is. Like Paul the Samuel, or was it Samuel the Paul? One of the first...
Yes.
Yeah. He changed his name, and so now whenever you are the leader of the church... In honor of that, you pick your new name.
Well, he's far from a Leo.
So Francis was not Pope. Francis was not Francis. He picked.
He should be Pope Bob.
He can't do that.
But he needs to be Pope Bob because he looks like Bob. He looks like a Pope, and his name's Bob. Mm. He should be Pope Bob.
No,
he is far from a Pope Leo.
No,
at least in his appearance,
he's Leo.
Anyway, I just feel like people are naturally competitive, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? To varying degrees.
Yes.
I'm just saying we got to really understand when to sort of let that flow and when to just kind of dial that back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Jace?
Well, but this was my point was when you're a kid, whatever bean or, you know, genetics, they're just graced upon you. And so people don't want this to be the case. They get better because we're told that when you're a kid, if you just work hard enough and you try harder than the other guy, gosh darn it, you can succeed. And the truth of the matter is, not so much. Because if you're born with short, stubby legs and the propensity to be more like a fire hydrant, you're not going to run. In fact, if you want to be an elite runner for a distance, guess what? You better be born in East Africa. And if you want to be a sprinter, you better be born in West Africa or have that descent. But people don't like that. And so I think that's what rubs people the wrong way.
So they're jealous.
They're jealous. They're jealous because the genetics, like musician, and it's that way in everything, right? You see the dude that just like never took a musical lesson in his life, but he plays like 6 instruments. Again, he
can pick something up and start fooling around, and then he's like playing a song, and you're like, what the hell, man?
He didn't do that.
Yeah.
Someone or something just touched him when he was a kid and was like, yeah, you're going to be a musician. And people, that rubs people the wrong way. Because if you've ever tried, I've tried learning Spanish like 9 different times. Currently trying to learn Japanese. Going about as well as when I tried to learn Spanish. Like, that stinks. There's just some things that you're
El
not.
Trevador.
But then you meet someone else and they pick up, my daughter picks up languages. She can just like, she can doodle around with something and then like in 2 months can be conversational. And you're like, son of a gun. And it like, it makes you mad because, where it's frustrating because you're like, why can't I do that? Yeah, it's the end of the day.
We have to work harder.
But that's the thing.
That's the thing is we're not willing to.
We're not willing to.
So your buddy comes out, shoots a 74.
Yeah.
And I play all the time, and I shoot 87.
Yes.
And I'm looking at him like, that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to play him again in 3 months.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work my ass off, and I'm going to beat him. But that's one thing.
Yeah.
But people won't do that. They'll just be bitter about it.
And truly, the point of the matter is, you probably, no matter what you do, you're still not going to beat him.
I mean, you could, but maybe, you might not. It's just that... I think it's one thing to make it motivate you.
Yeah.
It's another to just sit and bitch.
Yeah.
Because you're jealous.
But that's what we like to do.
We love that.
It's like our national pastime.
Yeah.
What is it, the old...
So do you think this Pope...
Jack had that line. It's not that we had it so bad. It's just that everyone else had it so much better.
So do you think this Pope, because he's American, will just bitch all the time?
Well, I guess he's... Well, already some of the right-wing people are pissed because he's a woke hippie liberal.
Oh, no.
Which I don't...
Another one?
Another one.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, the part when I see people, some of the conservative pundits, like, being pissed because he's a woke Pope. Are you familiar with Jesus? I'm not certain if any of those people are aware of who Jesus was. Kind of a lefty, liberal, hippie socialist. Not sure if that's the part that I don't quite understand when people get mad at a progressive Pope.
Yeah, I think one of the things is he is sympathetic towards migrants.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We build these walls, so...
Yeah. Well, some people thought, and I did too, I thought we were going to swing back the other way and we're going to get the super conservative
part. Yeah, our angle didn't work.
He was a massive upset, by the way.
Yeah, he was. Dude. What were the odds on him?
You could get him at 49 to 1. There's some ticket floating around the internet of someone who put out like $560 to win 52,000.
So I was reading that Francois picked him, hand-picked him.
Oh.
And insiders knew that he had a beat on it because Francis loved him because they were both real woke.
Yeah. So, dude, if you had an insider...
Yeah. You were just at the Vatican.
I'm pissed because I made good friends with Rose, who was good friends
Did
with
she not
Francis.
Know this?
She had to have known something.
Did you ask her?
Hey, Rose, you can't give me a little...
Did you ask her? She's not going to volunteer. You got to ask her.
No, I didn't
ask. You got to pull her aside and say, Rose, babe.
I didn't ask. Son of a gun.
Here's a couple euros.
I was talking to her about like the whole process, but I guess I never did ask. Like, I thought it was kind of rude to ask, like, hey, who's the new Pope going to be? But I wonder if she knew, because she and Francis were like, they were tight.
Well, then she would have known that Francis and this guy.
I had my chance.
Bob.
Yeah.
We're buds.
I had my chance to lay a significant wager on Bob.
And that's where the odds, like, why were the odds so, like, no one knew that?
Apparently not.
Why was he 49 to 1? That's so weird.
I don't know. He was a big
upset. We talked about yesterday that there was the one American, this dude, and he wasn't even in, like, I mean, he was way, way down the list.
Viral favorite was Pizza Balla.
Yeah. One of them. And then there was another dude, because he's from Chicago, Leo,
yeah.
Or Bob Leo. He's from Chicago. And the other guy, who actually I thought was the front runner for an American, I thought he was a New York guy. And he was a heftier gentleman.
Well, as we discussed yesterday on the program, I think you were here, Newark, New York, Chicago, and Washington are the four American
Cardinals. We're doing a swag art
Do you think that this new Pope, so he's a White Sox fan, according to his brother.
He went to Villanova.
Do you think that he will take all the Cardinals in their little funny hats and take them to a White Sox game?
I hope so. Although, did you see the controversy? Because they claim he's a White Sox fan, but outside of Wrigley Field, you know, they have the big reader board outside of Wrigley. It said, hey, he's a Cubs fan. So the Cubs are trying to claim the Pope.
No. When he got hired for the papacy, the papacy, is that what it's called? The
papacy. The business papers.
Whatever.
Yeah.
When the white smoke came out and everybody got high and everybody started crying, they're like, oh, yeah, it's a Pope. He's American. Oh, boo. Everybody, because he was from Chicago,
yeah.
it started circling on the internet that he was a Cubs fan.
Mm.
And I think that was just an assumption. Nobody knew that.
Yeah, just he was.
Well, then they go and they interview his brother, and his brother says, I don't know where that came from. He's not a Cubs fan. He's always been a White Sox fan. Mm. So he's a White Sox fan. He's not a Cubs fan. Well, the Cubs were just taking their cues from the stupid internet, and the internet's never right about anything.
Cubs better take that down then, or they're going to piss off the new God. Although, you know, hey.
So can the
Pope, maybe you have to be a fan of just, you know, you have to love everybody. So.
He can't go to a baseball game, right? Can the Pope go to a...
Why not? Why couldn't you?
I mean, you just don't really... Well, one, assassination attempts. Well,
I mean, but they're out and about. I mean, they got the little... They got security and they got the Pope mobile and...
They're out and about, but not really. I mean, it's usually at the Vatican or like touching kids' heads and stuff.
Well, they, you know, Francis was washing feet and they go to like Easter celebrations and...
But aren't those all at the Vatican? Like, I don't think the Pope travels all that much, does he? Or maybe that's just because Francois was old.
Also, do we know if he's into any of the other Chicago sports? I saw someone suggest they should do some, like, stained glass Michael Jordan mosaic in St. Peter's Basilica.
Well, I think someone did, you know, when he showed up on the balcony, they did it to the Bulls intro.
The Bulls intro, yeah, that was great.
The internet had some good ones today.
Yeah.
Twitter was on fire when this was going down.
Well, this is our first American Pope.
I know.
I say our. Yeah. This is the first American Pope.
Yeah. Someone did
America,
the,
yeah!
You know, someone did with the 15th pick, the Cardinals, you know, they did the on the clock, the NFL, when the smoke came out. The pick is in from the Cardinals.
All the sports references.
It's good. It's had some good ones.
Who's his OC?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who's like, maybe like a Tony Dungy, or he's a DC guy. I was trying to think of who's like super religious. Because Andy Reid's super religious, but I don't think the Mormons and the Catholics, I think those are, I'm sure those go hand
Are we
hand.
Shocked that they picked an American?
People seem to be pretty shocked.
I'm shocked.
No one thought this. Although the insiders, like you said, he was buddies.
Well, the
with
insiders
Francis.
Know that Francis really liked him because they're both snowflakes.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, one side's pissed because he already told he had a tweet a while back saying JD Vance was wrong. And,
but that's different than 135 guys voting for. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, just because Francis loved him doesn't mean he's
yeah. But
the next
if Francis was loved and everyone knew Francis wanted him to be the guy, maybe you know, maybe that's enough to get because it went pretty quick.
Or maybe there were some shenanigans back there. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Conclave.
Let me get a hold of Rose. I'll shoot her in line.
Yeah, okay. you got Vatican insiders.
Yeah, Vatican insiders. Well,
that was the other big fun internet joke today was the Pope. It took longer to draft Shadur Sanders than it did to elect a new Pope.
Ah!
3 days for Shadur, 2 days for the Pope.
Well, Leo's more talented. What can you say? Yeah. He's got more upside, too. I mean, and he's a younger Pope, right? How old's Leo?
69.
Yeah, dude.
Is that young for a Pope?
In Pope ages, yeah. Dude, that guy's practically a baby.
When does he die?
Oh, he'll go into his 80s.
Who dies first, Trump or him?
Trump. Trump's like 81 or 82.
I think he's 78, but...
I thought he was in his 80s.
I don't think so. I think he's 78.
So...
It's called
so
rain. Comes down
he's
from heaven.
He's 79.
Yeah, so he's got 9 years on the Pope.
Yeah,
I don't know, dude.
Dude, Leo looks like he's in shape. You think through sheer tyranny of will, Trump will never die?
I think there's a good chance of that.
It's possible. He may be one of those guys that you just, you know, we all see that old person that just chain smoking and drinking, eating McDonald's, but they live to be 101. It's like you can't kill him.
Well, guys, things are looking up.
Yeah.
USA!
Take
USA!
That, Rome!
Pope Bob! Let's go. Headlines next on The Fan. Okay. A lot going on here. One, Suk has already got Jesus Guy on fish on hook here on the text line.
I love it.
Yeah. So we'll get you back next hour.
Oh, they can't help themselves, can they?
Well, neither can you, to be fair.
I love my Bible, and I love my guns. Yeah.
Yeah, trucks,
unfortunately,
balls, yeah!
I know nothing of Jesus, so I cannot mediate this this Twitter or this text war. It is time for headlines, and listen, I got to tell you, I just can't believe it.
What?
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
Which means... The latest PGA Tour tournament started.
Oh, we don't have it, do we?
What do you mean we don't have it?
I'm guessing that one Ryan Buckley did not pick.
Now, why would you guess that?
Because you said you can't believe it.
I can't. Ladies and gentlemen, he's done it again. Ryan Buckley has the first round leader from the truest.
He did it again.
He did it again.
While training.
So they're playing this is called the Truist Championship or something. I don't know. It's at
this is the easiest winner I've had, because anyone who's won already for me as a first round leader is an auto play.
Now he's like, it's easy.
So Keith Money Mitchell. This is the third time he's hit for me.
So they're playing at Philadelphia Cricket Club. Okay.
Okay.
Which is a new course for them. It's an old golf course, but they've never played there. Which led me to think that this is going to be a really hard first round leader pick, because we just don't know how it's going to play for the big boys, right?
Sure.
No. Buck is claiming that it's his easiest hit yet.
Yeah, he's just...
Well, this by virtue of a steadfast rule, if you win for me, you play on Team Buckley for the rest of the season.
At this point, Buck is just... He's just he's Jordan hitting the 6-3s and shrugging shoulders.
I would like to point out...
It's like, it's no big deal.
This is a 55-1 winner.
Yeah.
That's right.
Again.
A dollar?
$250
this time.
$250
Well over $100. Now, you hit the superfecta for the Derby.
That's right.
Which was 17,000-1, right? Or
17,000. Well,
right?
I don't know. It was a dollar to win 1,700.
Yeah, whatever that is. I mean, that's the longest of shots.
Yeah.
Yes.
But this first round leader, that would be your fourth or fifth of the season?
Fifth.
In between the 50 to 70 to 1 odds.
So you bet. How many bets were placed?
10.
10.
He always bets 10.
At 250 a pop.
Yeah.
But you netted 100.
135 or something like that.
Okay. Hey, Buck, you got to start stepping up your bets.
I tell you what, if the guy bet
well,
real
they used
money,
to be dollar bets. They're now 250.
You need to start laying a solid buck.
Creeping.
You know, you spend $100, bet 10.
I ain't got it like that. You know this.
Well, $100.
I mean, I think it would be.
Per bet?
I think it would be a fun exercise.
Yeah.
To go from the Super Bowl, because you said you had a great Super Bowl, and then
no, it wasn't even. I didn't even have that great of a Super Bowl. What I had is like the weekend of the Super Bowl. I had Wyndham Clark first round leader.
Okay,
that was the
so
first
let's
thing
let's go get all your first round leader odds and winners. Okay, yeah. Let's get the superfecta. Let's get your Super Bowl all your big bets that you've hit in 2025.
Florida.
Florida. Let's put them all together, and let's run the numbers on if you bet.
Yeah.
XYZ, this is what you would have. Okay. I think the listeners deserve that.
Yes. I'm just saying, if we upped it, I think a $10 bet is a reasonable bet. Most people are not going to be like, oh my God, $10.
But I can't go putting $100 a week on first
no,
round.
We're not
leader.
I think
that.
You can.
Well, at this point, you can.
Luckily, you can. You're living the dream right now.
Had you done it on your superfecta, you'd have $170,000.
I know. Look, and I'd also be spraying like $360 on these ponies.
See, here's the problem. I think that the issue here, once again, is we feel like Mama Buckley is the one preventing this. And Buckley, like every married guy, are you not aware what slush funds are for?
No, nothing is preventing this. My wife barely cares what I do with this.
Yeah, I think he's being smart. It's just, I would really like to know what you would have. Let's say you bet in $100 increments.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Let's say your one unit was $100.
Right.
And that's a serious unit, though.
For yeah, you know. It is. But I just, that's not that big. Yeah. I would want to know if you can get us, listen, here's what we need, okay? You son of a bitch. We need the odds for all your big bets. Anything over 10-1 that you've hit, we need you to go back. Can you go back?
Yeah, there aren't that many of those. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get them. And then we'll put together what he would have.
And then what we do is we start taking some we need some capital. We start getting some investors here, and we put together a Buckley gambling fund, and you can invest in the future of Ryan Buckley, and we go on this journey as a show and a community. Let's go. Let's put some serious cash behind
this. Yeah, I mean, at this stage of the game, it's you asked this last week, you were like, do we start tailing Buckley? And I'm like, no.
No, you don't. Well,
it sounds terrible, but...
The moment there's a following is the moment it comes crashing down to earth.
I feel like at this point, we're silly not to. This is how I got onto betting the Ravens in the preseason. It just gets so absurd, you can't not bet.
Yeah, RJ Zinni says he wants to... He'll double all your bets. He just takes half your winnings.
Buckley, I
whatever you bet.
I think you've got a gift.
I don't think that's true, but at this point, I appreciate the vote of confidence.
We need to ride with it. Where do I subscribe to your newsletter? letter.
One of the guys last week on the YouTube did request my first round leaders, and I did not hit last week, but I provided them. I suppose
this
I should
is
not
Ryan, do this. Hit. This is Ryan Buckley.
I almost had Louie Huey, remember?
I've got confirmed information. I want to go with a first round leader for you or the next 4 weeks of free.
But I realized today with this third Keith Mitchell hit, if I had only bet Keith Mitchell every week this season, I'd still be up by a lot. Because it's the third time he's done it.
Yeah.
But, I picked him one time that he did it, and then
but part
every time
of why you're hitting these is you're spreading it around a little bit.
Well, like, of course.
You can't just,
well,
of course.
Sprague I'm just a, saying Keith,
Sprague
Keith Mitchell's
a GD
the man.
Sprague has a gambling show. What's he ever won? Let's push our guy. Come on.
Yeah, BetMGM or something?
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah.
BetQL or something?
We need Bet.
No, they dropped the QL. It's just BetMGM.
Now we just need the Bet Clydesdale here.
I have your phone number for you, if you'd like. 1-900-FRL-LOCK. Right?
That's a good
one. I love
one.
It.
Yeah.
I like where we're going with this.
1-900-PICK-FRL.
Yeah, you could do that. I love it. All right. Well.
FRL cash.
There's your first headline of the day. Buckley hit another one. And for those that don't understand, very simply,
yeah.
He is betting on who is leading after the first round of each PGA Tour event. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
And they're super long shot bets.
Yeah.
And they're quite random, I would think, but apparently they're not.
Apparently bet Keith Mitchell.
He went 9 under. And he also had Denny McCarthy, who was 8 under. He had it either way.
I thought most of the day, I thought it was going to be, I was wondering whether Denny McCarthy would get home.
Buckley's just, he's sitting there on that run. He's like, I got this. No, but either way, he's like, I got it.
Pretty amazing. All right. Next, buying or selling the Celtics for the rest of the series. Here's Buck. So I just looked up the rankings, the latest. Buck is now in the top 11 west of the Mississippi in first round leader bettors who also bet the Derby.
It's quite an amazing streak.
It's a prestigious place to be.
Really only is. A couple weeks ago, he was top 74.
Yeah.
He's in the top 11.
He's climbing with
surging.
A bullet right now.
Surging like a Clydesdale.
Yeah, Clydesdale with the plow.
It's like the GD Indiana Pacers at this point. No one thought it. No one thought they had a chance, and yet here he is up 2-0.
My Pacers.
Your Pacers.
Boy, didn't I call that? Am I in the top 11 of people who made NBA picks who watch no NBA?
Well, you and Dirt both. You got that.
Does he not watch the NBA?
I think I'm not sure who watches less, you two, but like
I'm pretty sure it's me.
Yeah, they you both have a knack for that.
So I never watch it.
But hot NBA takes.
But then I had the Pacers
yeah.
going deep. And then, of course, what happens? See, that's how predictable that sport is.
Well, there. I mean, at least Indiana. I mean, not Indiana. It'd be Cleveland. Cleveland has an excuse, and they're missing, you know, three important guys.
Well, and they
well,
gacked.
Two important guys.
Listen,
in a
I don't care who's out there. They gacked twice, too.
Yeah.
Just like the Celtics did.
But I think when you look at, obviously, like what Boston's doing coming off the defending championship, I mean, that's the most shocking one.
Dude, it's crazy.
And they've been up by 20. I saw that was the first time in NBA history that a team has blown back-to-back 20-point leads in the playoffs. I mean, there's so many of these Boston, you know, it's the first time this, it's the first time that. I mean, this is a historic collapse in these first two games with Boston. That being said, I don't feel that Boston is by any stretch of the imagination out of this series.
Are you betting them? You want the odds?
Well, yeah, what do I got? Am I plus money yet?
I think it's about even, isn't it?
Nope. It's minus 120. Boston still favored to win the series.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to is obviously these games have been one possession games, but for 46 minutes, Boston's the better team, and they're the better team by a bunch. So I think the idea is that if Boston just pulls their head out of their ass, if they can find out, like, Porzingis has some sort of mysterious illness that no one will explain. He's got mono or Lyme disease or something. No one knows what's up. But the idea that if they can just execute a little down the stretch or occasionally
make a shot
or attempt something other than a three, they went 8.5 minutes with one field goal. And that, by the way, was the Tatum dunk. At least say at the end, the last possession, Mazzulla said the reason why they didn't call timeout is he said they thought they had the same look with him pushing the ball that they got on the one field goal they had. Just that New York defended it and Tatum made a weird...
I don't hate that.
I don't either.
I don't hate that.
You know, press the ball, you think you can get downhill on it, and it was great defense on the part, and then Tatum kind of flailed and got stuck. But it's just the idea that, like, Boston has, like, to make, like, one of 10 plays down the stretch in either one of those games, and they win. And so the idea that Boston can't come back in the series, they won 3 of 4 in the regular season. They've clearly been the better team for the majority of these two games. Obviously, it's a deep hole to dig out of. I think it was 92% of teams that go up 2-0 in the series win, and it's even greater for teams that go up 2-0 on the road. So they've put themselves in a bind. But if there is a team in these playoffs that is equipped to dig themselves out of a 2-0 hole, it's Boston.
Yeah, they could certainly win. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Playoffs!
Because they are the champs, and yeah. They, you know, they're not going to shoot 25% from three the rest of the game series.
But
are they?
Well, this is the part with Mazzulla. Mazzulla last, you know, they won the title, and, you know, we love him because he's this weird, eccentric, just, you know, Hannibal Lecter type. But is it fair to question the coaching acumen here where, like, you have these stretches where your offense just completely falls apart and New York is being physical with you. They're beating you up and there's no adjustments. It's bad. If this was the NFL, right? And we had a coach that their entire game plan, the entire game plan is we're going to run the ball, right? It's all we're going to do. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. This is what we do. We're going to run the ball 60 times a game, but a quarter and a half goes by and you've run for like -4 yards. And that's all he did? Like, we would murder that guy. But in the NBA, we don't really do that.
I think football's a tough comp because it's just so much more complicated. I think that Mazzulla would probably tell you if he were sitting here with his crazy eyes and his muzzled mouth.
Yeah.
I think he would say, well, we're not going to change who we are.
But you shouldn't change who you are. Is changing who you are the difference? Like, so you've gone 6 minutes without a field goal.
He's going to keep chucking, dude.
And you've got two guys, at least, that seemingly can create and get a good look anytime they want. Why wouldn't you run some stuff to get some guys some easy looks? Say, guys, I know we shoot 63s a game, but we're shooting at like a 19% clip right now, and our lead went from 20, and it's down to like 8. Hey, let's try to get a couple easy buckets. Let's get Tatum or Brown going downhill, get him to the rim, maybe get to the free throw line, maybe kill some of this momentum, right? Maybe bleed some clock. But no, they launch more threes, and it's baffling to me. And I am not an NBA guy. I do not claim to have a vast understanding of the intricacies of NBA offenses, but it just seems that for two games, as this thing has slipped away from Boston, their inability to make any sort of adjustment is stunning to me.
Well, I think you got to give the Knicks a little bit of credit.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. I think Mazzulla, he's not going to panic. I would be interested to see if what you're talking about doesn't shift if they fall behind in game three. Because they can't lose game three.
No.
Right? So they got to go there and win. And so if the same thing starts occurring and they're just not knocking down threes, I think that's the time where you got to see Mazzulla maybe try something a little different. But, they're the champs.
Yeah.
They're at home. They didn't think it would happen again. Like you said, they were up 20 both games. That in right there is definition of not panic. Like, you don't need to panic.
No.
So, I don't know. I can see why they're sticking to their guns. But, yes, it will be interesting to see how he digs them out of this or helps dig them out of this. Or if they just keep running their same crap and they just start making more than 25% of their three-pointers.
And
they are 25 of 100
it's
from
shocking.
The three-point range. And in the fourth quarter, they are 4 of 26.
Well, we told you in quarter three of game one when the comeback happened, they shot 18 field goals in the third quarter when they got that lead erased, and one of them was not a three-pointer. One!
And that they're always going to take open threes. They just are. They can all shoot. That's the beauty of them is they can all shoot.
They all shoot, but...
But they're just, bad games.
I just would think that there's an easy way to stem the tide, and you've got some guys that can get easy looks, but, you know, you're not doing it. And clearly the one thing we know about this series is that New York is fine playing this rugged, physical, you know, these games aren't being played in the 120s, right? They're slowing the game down and dragging them into deep water and beating them up and being physical with them. And New York is more comfortable executing down the stretch. And that's the other one, is I'm shocked at how poor a veteran championship team like Boston executes down the stretch, including the last two possessions of both games, where one guy stole the ball basically on both of them.
Well, there's probably a little choke factor in there.
Yeah.
You know, you get a little momentum. That's very real on the Knicks side. And they can play defense. I mean,
yeah.
They've had two great defensive plays to to close out those games. I mean, they're just, Knicks are tough. You know, if I told you that you could get the, I'm gonna spot the Knicks two games. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be up 2-0, but they're still gonna be plus money to win the series. Aren't you just blindly taking that?
Yes.
Well, that's the situation, we're in. And by the way, they're going home.
He's got to get one. He's got to get one.
They
in
have
New
home
York.
Court, right?
Yeah. You just get one in New York, and then you force Boston to
win.
Yeah,
if they get one.
If they get one.
So it's just like, I don't know why you wouldn't bet. Like, I know the whole world is probably going to be on Boston, right? Because of it's conventional wisdom, groupthink. Yeah. Everybody thinks, oh, the Celtics will be fine. We've seen this before. Dude, you're giving me the Knicks with a 2-0 lead going back home and their plus money.
What's the Clydesdale say?
I'll be the sucker.
I like Boston.
Well, there you go.
That's why they're plus money. That's right. The Knicks right there. So it's just the second time in 564 games.
I do think it's about a toss-up. Like, at this point, it'll probably go seven, and then it's who you like in seven.
So it's just the second time in 564 games that the Celtics have shot worse than 25% from three.
Yeah.
564 games.
You would think
that's almost seven seasons. And that right there is why Missoula's going, we'll be all right. We'll be fine. We've opened up 20-point leads in both games.
Until you're not.
So before this season, too, one other stat, and then we got to go. But before this season, we had never seen two 60-win teams in an 0-2 hole.
Yeah.
Or one 60-win team in an 0-2 hole in the 16-team format.
Got two of them.
And now we have two. Dude, this playoffs is just a series of anomalies.
It's drunk.
Over and over and over. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's good for the league.
Absolutely.
I'm here for it. All right, coming up next, Bad Moon Out on The Fan. Leave the sinking ship. Hi, I love sports.
That's an underrated drop.
Yeah.
There's a joy in that. It's really good.
I don't either. It says Sook AIDS laugh. That's what it's labeled as.
That's problematic.
Yeah, I wish we knew.
Yeah.
I wish we knew.
You never know.
Try peanut butter AIDS.
AIDS. I have AIDS. Who knew we had so many AIDS drops?
And AIDS laughs.
Yeah.
Well, AIDS are funny.
Gonna stay quiet over here.
No.
Bad Moon Out.
That was the tease. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not know. What's happening? You know.
God. Bad Moon Out. Moon Rising.
Hot Moon Talk? What the
Bad Moon Rising is out. Moon Cam Rising is out.
I see what you did there.
Well, no, I didn't do it. He did it.
That's what he did?
Yeah, on his... So Cam Rising, the quarterback at Utah...
He's been there for like 1,000 years.
He is finally dead. he has medically retired after 8 seasons of college football.
Okay.
And so I saw that headline. I went, my God, thank you. But then I went, wait, I got to go do some digging on how that all went down because I'm inevitably going to misremember it. Well, anyway, I saw his social media post about medically retiring, and it that was his headline, that's what he wrote.
Okay.
Bad Moon Out.
Bad Moon Out.
So apparently they called him Bad Moon Rising.
Well, that makes sense.
Which is a pretty cool-ass nickname if your last name is Rising.
It is, but don't you have to be... Well, I guess he was pretty good for a time.
When he played.
All right, here's my thing. Here's my hot Cam Rising take.
Oh, we have hot Cam Rising take?
I got a hot Cam Rising take here.
Because I'm going to go through his career for you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you want to go through that?
Yeah, let me do that, and then I want your opinion. Because he's interesting, because this is why I do things like this, is it reminds me of, like, what really happened instead of in my head. In my head, he was always hurt, and he never really did much of anything.
Well,
okay.
Towards the end, right, obviously, the knee injury is what ended up costing him his career.
So let's go all the way back to 2016.
Okay.
All right? Buck was, like, 6 years old.
He wasn't even a Clydesdale at that point. He was just a young stable pony.
That's the same year that LeBron won it with the Cavs. So
really?
I want you to think about that.
Yeah, that was the Warriors blow the 3-1 lead to the Cavs.
Yikes.
Yeah. Young LeBron.
Yeah.
2016, Cam Rising is offered by UCLA.
Okay.
In June, okay? In August of that same year, he commits to Oklahoma. Fast forward to April of 2017, he commits to Texas. December of 2017, he actually signs with Texas. Mm-hmm. December of 2018, he enters the transfer portal. So that one season with Texas, he was sitting behind Sam Ehlinger and, I forget his first name, but Steve Buschel's kid. Remember that?
Shane Buschel.
Shane Buschel.
Yeah, I remember Ehlinger, who went on and he was a backup in the NFL. I don't really remember the other kid that much.
What I find interesting is that it seems to me, and this is, of course, hindsight.
Sure.
But it seems to me that Rising, should he stay healthy, is better than both of those guys, or was better than both of those guys. But Ehlinger kept playing, and Rising never saw. And then Buschel was like the next up-and-coming guy, and so Rising never saw a crack there.
Sure.
And so he left. So he enters the portal. Mm-hmm. January of 2019, he commits to Utah. Okay, so we're already 3 years into this.
Sure.
And he really hasn't played at all.
Is this back when you also had to sit out a year when it wasn't a free transfer?
You still would have had to sit out.
Yeah, so that probably makes the timeline longer.
So over 6 years, he plays 30 games. Mm-hmm. In those.
I do remember, if I'm not mistaken, like off the top of my head, I believe he only played 2 years at Utah.
In those 30 games, he went 21-9.
Yeah.
He won two conference championships and played in two Rose Bowls.
Yes.
That's what I don't remember. I remember them in the Rose Bowl when he got hurt against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Totally forgot that he went to the Rose Bowl the next year and lost to Penn State.
It was Utah's first two Pac-12 championships.
Yes, I remember Utah winning the two championships. I did not remember that Cam Rising was actually healthy for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
He actually played both of those seasons. The 26 of his starts, he only played 30 games.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm pretty certain he only played in the 2 years.
26 of them were those 2 years, but they won the league both of those years and played in two Rose Bowls.
Yeah.
As for the injuries, he suffered season-ending shoulder injury in 2020. In 2021, he comes back. He loses the starting job to Charlie Brewer, only to get it back a couple of weeks later, but then he gets concussed in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State and has to leave the game.
Yep.
The next year, he plays all year. They win the league. They go to the Rose Bowl, and he tears up his knee against Penn State.
Yep.
So then, in 2023, he takes a medical redshirt, so he sits out that whole year.
And that was the weird year where Whittingham was kind of getting pissy about it, because it sounded, at least the reports were, that Utah medical doctors were saying that Cam could play.
Yeah, and then his personal doctor said he couldn't, and then they had the whole weird thing where they put up a media release that said, don't contact his friends or family, because people were... Yeah,
there was a
weird
thing, and that there was an idea that maybe there was some disagreement on his health status.
So then he comes back for 2024, but he hurts his hand in week two, forces him to miss three games. Same season, week seven, he suffers a lower leg injury and never plays football again.
Yeah.
That's his career. Mm-hmm. So from 2016 to 2024, 8 years, he really does nothing for six of them.
Yeah.
And two of them, he balled out and won the league twice and went to two Rose Bowls.
Yeah, that's what I said. He basically played 2 years at Utah.
Right. But I'm just saying, I don't remember him being that good when he actually did.
All right.
Play.
Well, here comes my hot Cam Rising take. He wasn't. Just wasn't that good. We do this all the time in college football. Texas went to the doorstep of a national championship this year. Correct? They were right there.
No.
One of the best teams in the country.
They had no chance of winning.
No chance of winning. And
with Quinn Ewers.
And Quinn Ewers. So how do we remember Quinn Ewers? Quinn Ewers was...
He was pretty good.
He was okay. Quinn Ewers was... where did he get drafted?
We always wanted more from Quinn Ewers.
Exactly. But this is I guess this is kind of my point with Cam Rising, is that this is my comp here. Quinn Ewers, we were told from the very beginning that Quinn Ewers was like the end all to be all, right? Number one quarterback, goes to Ohio State, comes back to Texas. Oh, he's going to lead Texas back on top. And by the way, he did. He was really good. He had a better career than Cam Rising did, probably better numbers than Cam Rising did, right? But we view Cam Ewers as kind of like, he was okay, and he played with Texas. But Cam played in a time where, you know, Utah had never won a conference title before, and the quarterback play at Utah was dreadful. That's the one thing that Utah never had. Remember, they ran the ball, they played defense, they just could never find a quarterback, and then they got a competent quarterback. And Cam Rising was good. He was a solid quarterback. And they won the conference, lost both bowl games, but didn't have to go on and play in any sort of, you know, cultural playoff where you get exposed against a better team. And because it was Utah and they had never won a title before and the quarterback play had been so piss poor over the years, we elevated Cam Rising to this legendary status when in reality, Cam Rising was more Quinn Ewers or Sam Ellinger. That he was some sort of mythical figure.
I think so, that's fair. I just don't think he was ever elevated to mythical status.
When people talk about, like, man, if he had not gotten hurt. Yeah, if he had not gotten hurt, he would have been an average player and would have been a sixth or seventh round pick.
Well, he had a little flair.
Yeah.
And you can't deny that when he did play, they were awfully good. You know, I mean, that's a feather in his cap. Two of them, actually. But I guess, that's why I just misremembered his how it all went down with him. Anyway, he is done, ladies and gentlemen. It's very sad.
And it
bad
sucks.
Bad moon out.
Yeah, and it sucks that, you know, that he doesn't have a career going forward or anything like that. But, you know, he wasn't, this wasn't Vince Young struck down in the prime of his career or anything like that.
All right, coming up next, it's time for the college football crack pipe.
Ooh, that's a little.
You want to take a hit?
Can I be honest?
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
Yes, I want you to be honest.
I can't do that.
I think you can.
It's wrong. It's morally wrong.
Well, I'm going to get you high.
Whitney Houston once told me that crack is for poor people.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack.
That is next on The Fan.